So we'll read from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 14. The translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anat Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyat Anna Sambhavaha Yagyat Bhavati Parjanyaha Yagyaha Karma Samudbhavaha. Translation: all living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya, sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, a great commentator on the Bhagavad Gita, writes as follows: ye indra dyanga taya vastitang yagyang sarveshwarang vishnam abhyarchyat tachchesham ashnantitena taddehayatrang sampadayanti te santah sarveshwarasya yagya purushasya bhakta sarvakil vishairanadi kala vivridhair atmanu bhava pratibandhakair nikhilair papair vimuchyante. The Supreme Lord, who is known as the Yajna Purush, or the personal beneficiary of all sacrifices, is the master of all the demigods who serve him as the different limbs of the body serve the whole. Demigods like Indra, Chandra and Varuna are appointed officers who manage material affairs, and the Vedas direct sacrifices to satisfy these demigods so that they may be pleased to supply air, light and water sufficiently to produce food grains. And Lord Krishna is worshipped. The demigods, who are different limbs of the Lord, are also automatically worshipped. Therefore, there is no separate need to worship the demigods. Chapter 3, text 14. For this reason, the devotees of the Lord, who are in Krishna consciousness, offer food to Krishna and then eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized to all contamination of material nature. When there is an epidemic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects a person from the attack of such an epidemic. Similarly, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection, and one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness who eats only food offered to Krishna can counteract all reactions of past material infections, which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. On the other hand, one who does not do so continues to increase the volume of sinful action, and this prepares the next body to resemble hogs and dogs, to suffer the resultant reactions of all sins. The material world is full of contaminations, and one who is immunized by accepting prasadam of the Lord, food offered to Vishnu, is saved from the attack, whereas one who does not do so becomes subjected to contamination. Food grains or vegetables are factually eatables. The human being eats different kinds of food grains, vegetables, fruits, etc., and the animals eat the refuse of the foods, grains and vegetables, grass, plants, etc. Human beings who are accustomed to eating meat and flesh must also depend on the production of vegetation in order to eat the animals. Therefore, ultimately, we have to depend on the production of the field and not on the production of big factories. The field production is due to sufficient rain from the sky, and such rains are controlled by demigods like Indra, sun, moon, etc., and they are all servants of the Lord. The Lord can be satisfied by sacrifices. Therefore, one who cannot perform them will find himself in scarcity. That is the law of nature. Yajna, specifically the Sankirtan Yajna prescribed for this age, must therefore be performed to save us at least from scarcity of food supply. Anad bhavanti bhutani parijanyadana sambhavaha yagyad bhavati parijanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yagya sacrifice, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. Let us try to imagine the scene before the battle of Kurukshetra. All the great warriors of the world are assembled, about to fight. It's an extremely tense situation. In Tokyo, it's a very tense city, isn't it? People are very full of tension and stress, isn't it? You tell me, you live here. It's a very tense city, no? But the situation on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was like Tokyo times 10 million, the tension. On both sides, very full of anger and ready to fight. And when you're fighting like that, at any moment you can be killed. But they were very extremely angry on both sides. There's a slight interval before the fighting. There's some delay. Arjuna, who is the chief hope of one of the sides, is feeling some hesitation about fighting. He wants to be convinced. He's not at all convinced why I should fight. He lost his spirit. You can't fight without spirit. In the modern age, sport is very popular. So sometimes in a sport, in any sport, whatever it is, whether it's tennis or soccer or whatever it might be, sometimes you find that one side is, or one participant is much more skillful than the other, but still they lose because the other party has more spirit, isn't it? You can be very expert, but unless you have spirit, you can't fight. Unless you have spirit, means the will to win, the determination, that you're just completely concentrated and focused. How much more that has to be in a battle, hand-to-hand battle. It's an extremely intense situation. But Arjuna had lost his spirit, didn't want to fight. Nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushnim bhuvaha. I won't fight, he told. I, Govinda, I'm not going to fight, he said. Now, Krishna had to incite him to fight. In that situation, if you just tell somebody, come on, get up, it might not work. Krishna tried that also. He said at the beginning too, that Taibyang Masmagamaf Partha Naitatvayupapandite Shudram Hridya Daurbalyam Chaktvo Tishta Parantapa. The first thing he told Arjuna, how did you become such a useless weakling in this battlefield? Come on, get up, useless fellow. That's the first thing he told Arjuna. But Arjuna still wasn't convinced. So Krishna could understand that Arjuna's Vishada, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Arjuna's despondency was not, no quick fix would work. It's not just a matter of giving him. People nowadays, they get depression, they go to the doctor, he gives them a few pills, and then, okay, take a few pills and get back out to work. But there's no quick fix. for Arjuna's despondency. Arjuna is an extremely noble person. He has got the highest sentiments. He, even though he's trained to kill, and prior to this, he has fought and killed many times. But he's not a wanton killer. Wanton, you know what that means? Like whimsical. Without any reason. He doesn't just kill without any reason. Like you were telling me now, it became quite not unheard of in Japan that someone just kills their mother without any reason. Why? No reason. They have no reason. Why? They ask why they did it. No reason needed. They don't think there's any reason needed. So Arjuna, he was a Kshatriya who fought for the sake of... He was trained to fight for dharma. Now dharma is a word... It's one of those words which is... It's very difficult to define fully. Is there any word in Japanese for dharma? In Buddhism, in Pali, there's the word dhamma, which is a distortion of dharma. That came through in Japanese at all? No.
Yes. Dharma.
Dharma. You say the same thing? All right. Now, in modern English, this is often translated as religion, but it's not a very good translation. Dharma means righteousness, the ultimate principle of righteousness. There's a similar word in Sanskrit, ritta. Maybe you've heard that term, ritta. Satyam eva jayate, naan ritam. The truth will certainly prevail, not anritam. Anritam means adharma. So Arjuna, he perceived that this fight is not a good fight. Because, for various reasons. He gave various reasons why he thought this is not a good fight. There are so many reasons that we can't attack our gurus, our family members. As a result of this fighting, all the men will be killed and the women will be unprotected. Why should we fight? For our own enjoyment? You say, to fight for dharma is good, but we're fighting just so we can get the kingdom. It's for our own personal sake. For various reasons, he offered this was not proper to fight. Krishna, Lord Krishna, brought Arjuna to a higher understanding, without which he could not be convinced to fight. Even Krishna is his friend. Even Arjuna accepts Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but still he needs to be convinced. Just like we may accept Krishna as God, as the Supreme Lord, but still we may wonder, why should that be? If we hear some, often people in India, they superficially, or they accept Krishna as supreme, or at least as very great, but then they wonder, why did he tell Arjuna to kill? Why did he dance with so many young girls? So they can't understand this thing. We respect him, but why did he do like that? So, Krishna has to convince Arjuna, even if he tells, listen Arjuna, just shut up, I'm God, do what I say. Arjuna, he might do, but not with full spirit. And with full spirit, he couldn't have fought. Arjuna knew Krishna was God. Here in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains in detail how he is how he, Krishna, is God. But even prior to that, Arjuna had witnessed, or he would witnessed or heard of Krishna being supreme in the forest, Vyasadeva and some other rishis had told Yudhishthira Maharaj and the other Pandavas, actually Krishna is supreme. And there was there were various incidents. Krishna, when he went to Duryodhana, to ask Duryodhana for some amicable settlement, so there would be no reason, no need for the fight, Duryodhana wanted to capture Krishna. But then Krishna, he expanded into so many forms and said, which one you want to capture, but I will expand in so many forms. You can't catch me. So in so many ways, Krishna showed that he is God. Even right in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Madhusudana, which is another name for Vishnu, the killer of the Madhu demon. So, Krishna is convincing Arjuna philosophically, and the whole battle is being held up. The conches have been blown. When the conches are blown, that means they're all ready to fight. It's like using a sports analogy also. It's just like they say, 3, 2, 1, go! Or in soccer, they blow the whistle and then they start playing. So it's all ready to go, but there's some interval because Krishna needs to convince Arjuna and everything just stops. Everyone's tense and ready to fight. They've been preparing for this for years. For years it was thought that such a battle might be necessary. And especially in the last few months. And you can imagine what it's like when you're just coming up to the crucial moment. Maybe we've all been through crucial moments in our lives. Just you study for years, and then there are final examinations. And it's just the moment comes closer and closer. Then, now it's time. Now it's time to go. But everything is stopped still. Krishna doesn't have much time to explain to Arjuna. Of course, Krishna can dilate time. He is the Supreme Lord. He can make a moment into millions of years and millions of years into a moment. But while he's in this world, he, for the sake of his lila or pastimes, he tends to make this world, he tends to follow the laws of this world. Sometimes he bends the rules. He does things which you might not expect him to be able to do. Just like he's famous as Govardhana Dhari. He lives Govardhan Hill. He looks like a small boy, but he has all the powers of the Supreme Lord, because he is the Supreme Lord. So he lifts the Govardhan Hill, and you may think, well, how can a small boy do that? Well, a small boy can't do that, but he's not just a small boy. He's Bhagavan, and by his power, all the universe is held up, what to speak of one hill. So what is impossible for a small boy is very easy for the Supreme Lord. So he is, although he presents himself as a small boy, actually he's the Supreme Lord. So he can change the rules if he likes. During the Rasalila dance, one night, it was not just one night, but it was equivalent to one night of Lord Brahma, which is extremely long. So Krishna can adjust everything. But in this instance, going along with the laws of nature, he spoke this Bhagavad Gita in a relatively short time. There wasn't much time. So it's quite a job, isn't it, when you've got to convince someone of something very important, but you have very little time to do it. And he has to be convinced in the deepest philosophical way. So that is one expertise of Krishna, that he was able to speak Bhagavad Gita in this way. Now, Arjuna wanted to be convinced about dharma. Now, to understand dharma, there are so many factors. What is right? What is wrong? What should be done? What should not be done? And the understanding of dharma covers every aspect of life. In Vedic society, everything centers around yajna or sacrifice. In the verse we read today, you may wonder what I was talking about, all this about the battle, when it has nothing to do with the verse. I'm just getting round to this now. That in this verse, the word yajna or sacrifice is mentioned twice, because yajna is central to Vedic society. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he required to fight. He was ready to accept even one village, but as a kshatriya, he had to perform his dharma of being a king of some area, even if it's only one village, minimum. Why? Because as a kshatriya, it's his duty to protect society and organize society. And the purpose of organizing society is not just so that we can all live together peacefully. They're trying to do that in modern society very unsuccessfully, because people are not living peacefully. But not just living peacefully, but for the specific purpose of performing yajna. And for the kshatriya, the king, to perform yajna, he requires wealth. He taxes the citizens. Not so that he can live a very luxurious life, although the kshatriya, generally, he's opulent, he's wealthy. But the main purpose is so that everyone's activities, that can be, it's organized by the king so that everything is offered in yajna. Now, the word yajna is used twice in this verse. And the point of this verse is anad bhavanti bhutani. Everyone lives on food grains. Everyone means not only human beings, even the animals. Anna, this word, generally that's understood to mean rice. But it can mean any grain. Or it can mean all kinds of food. There are different meanings. Just like Atma can mean body, mind, soul, or the Supreme Lord. According to different contexts, it has different meanings. So all living beings require food, and specifically, anna, grains, are required for yajna, because in the yajna, the grains are offered swaha, swaha. Grains are offered in the fire. So grains require to be produced. And Lord Krishna mentions here that grain or any kind of food, any kind of vegetation, that requires rain to grow. And even as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, even the meat eaters among humans and animals, they also require rain, because the animals they eat, somewhere down the food chain, the animals are vegetable eaters. Whether it's grass or fruit or grains, plants grow because of rain. So rain is required to produce food. Without rain, you cannot live. When there's no rain, then everything becomes a desert. Nothing grows, very little grows in the desert. Just because of some condensation, there's very little rain, the cactus plant can grow. Very sparse vegetation. So we may wonder, well, why is Krishna speaking about living? We need rains and food, grains, and it's in the, just before the battle, there's about to be a big fight, and it's a very tense situation. And he has to convince Arjuna philosophically about the purpose of fighting. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all this, he says, well, we need rain to get food to eat. And Arjuna might say, well, okay, but what's that got to do with fighting? It's true, but what's it got to do with fighting or not fighting? My question was that I don't want to fight. Why should I fight? And you're telling me about rain for food grains, and you know, what's it got to do? What are we talking about here? The point is that Krishna is convincing Arjuna on all levels, and to understand dharma, it requires a complete understanding of human society and the purpose of human society. So human society is organized on an economic basis. We were just talking about the desert. So traditionally in the desert, the people who live in the desert, they are nomadic, because you can't get much food to eat there, and they have to go from place to place just to get a little food for their, to take some dates, and their camels, the camel can go without water for a long time, and then they take the camel's milk, and sometimes the camel's meat. There's not much to eat. It's a condemned existence. The economy of the desert, of the Arabian desert, has changed due to discovery of oil. So according to the economics, the culture, the values, the whole way of life is organized. Where there is sufficient food, then people can start to think of higher values. Otherwise, in places where it's very difficult to get food, we can't expect a very high level of culture. Just like among Eskimos, they live in the ice, so they have to catch fish. They make a hole in the ice and somehow or other they catch fish, and they live like that. So we can't expect a very high level of culture where the struggle to live is so difficult that survival is about all that people can, that's about it. They can just survive, that's all. So where there is sufficient rain, not too much, and the land and the climate are good, then in that place, human civilization and culture can flourish. And actually, according to Shastra, birth in a desert or in an icy area, that is considered due to some bad karma previous life. Because practically one is forced to eat meat, and there's very little opportunity for higher culture. So in the society where the land is flat and fertile, the soil is good, there's sufficient rain but not too much, On one side there is anavrishti, drought, not enough rain. And on the other side there is ativrishti, too much. So it should be just balance. Balance is a Japanese word, huh? Came in Japanese also. English is everywhere. So Lord Krishna mentions here that for rain, upon which production of food is necessary, yajna is required. That means for a balanced climate, yajna is required. Performance of sacrifice. Now, performance of sacrifice, it's not just the performance. It's not, you see, you can organize. There are different groups in India, sometimes they, or overseas also among Hindus, they perform some sacrifice, they say for world peace or whatever. But one thing they don't understand is it's not just a matter of putting the grains in the fire and saying swaha. But the priests themselves, they should understand what is the purpose of sacrifice, what are the underlying principles, and they should explain that to everyone involved. Otherwise, it just becomes an empty ritual. And often we hear people complain, in people born in Hindu families, that it's just some empty rituals. People are doing, but if you ask them why, they say, well, we don't know. Our fathers, forefathers did like this, so we are doing. That means that they've been trained to do the ritual, but not why. They don't know why. And then it becomes what is called an empty ritual. There's nothing wrong with rituals. But actually these rituals are very important. But one should understand the deep meaning behind them. There is deep meaning. It is substantial. But without understanding the deep meaning, then it becomes empty. So for this reason, Krishna is explaining in detail. Because if you take it at face value, what Arjuna said, it seems to be perfectly correct. Killing is not good, especially killing respectable people, seniors, elders, brahmanas, gurus, family members. All of Arjuna's objections, they seem to be correct. But Lord Krishna, he is explaining the whole purpose of Vedic civilization, our whole existential position to Arjuna, to make Arjuna understand that although Arjuna's protests would normally be considered correct, there is another, more, a greater factor underlying, which outweighs everything else. And that is that Krishna has a purpose in this world to remove the sinful people who cannot uphold dharma. They, as long as Duryodhana is on the throne, there cannot be proper execution of dharma. Now Lord Krishna states here, yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. Yagya causes rains, and yagya can be performed when everyone is following their prescribed duties properly. That's another reason why these sacrifices, people are holding sacrifices. Sometimes this, There's some so-called Pariva which goes around India and organizes big sacrifices, but there's no meaning because yajna karma samudbhavaha. The yajna can only be performed when everyone is following their karma properly. You see, they take money from corrupt businessmen, but that money cannot be used for yajna. Cannot be used for anything, actually. Cannot properly be used for anything. Everyone should be properly following their prescribed duties, then only can the yajna be successful. In Uttaramayana, there is a description of how one Shudra was performing tapasya, austerity, for the sake he wanted to go to heaven by performing austerities. As a result, there was so much disturbance in the kingdom, and all the demigods and brahmanas, they said to Ram, "You are the king, you should stop this, you should kill him." So Ram went there and killed him. You may say, well, what's wrong? He was performing austerities, he was a very pious man. But no, it had the opposite effect. That kind of austerity is suitable for brahmanas and maybe kshatriyas. But for shudras, paricharyatmakam karma. What is that? Paricharyatmakam karma shudrasyapi svabhavajam. That the Shudras, they are meant for service to others. They're not meant for performing austerities. They can get the good result by performing their prescribed duty. If they try to perform someone else's prescribed duty, then it becomes a disturbance. Now at the present time, this Varnashram system is completely broken down. There are no proper brahmanas or kshatriyas and no proper Vaishyas or even Shudras for that matter. The whole system is... Vaishya is business, but this kind of business, making factories, and that's not the traditional Vaishyas. Vaishya is traditionally Krishi Go Raksha Vanija. Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. Agriculture, cow protection, and trade. And trade doesn't mean factories. Trade means if there's some excess grains, you can trade it like this, not making factories. And cow killing, very sinful, extremely sinful. Even in this country, up until not long ago, there was no cow killing. Now it became normal due to bad influence. Now in India also, so many cows are slaughtered, very sinful. Everywhere, all over the world, they're killing, 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 killing. So in this age, the fire or the normal system of sacrifice cannot work. It's not possible. In Kali Yuga, the situation is too disturbed. Therefore, in this age, yagyaya sangha, I'll say the whole verse, Krishna varanam tusha krishnam sangopangastra parshadam yagyaya sankirtana praya yajanti hi sumeda saha. In this age, Lord Krishna has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he teaches Sankirtan Yajna. He should be worshipped by Sankirtan Yajna. Those who are intelligent in Kali Yuga, and there are not many of them, we think people are intelligent if they have some university degree, but university degree, that is not a sign of real intelligence. Real intelligence is to understand the purpose of life. And there are very few people who are even interested in that in the modern age. So, the university degree, that doesn't mean intelligence. Intelligence means to understand the purpose of life and worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the purpose, by the process of Sankirtan Yajna, or chanting the holy names of Krishna. In the Kali Yuga, the whole Varnashram system is broken down. The old way of performing sacrifice is not possible But sacrifice can be performed by Sankirtan Yajna. Now, Krishna is pointing out all these things, how how society should be organized so that people can live in cooperatively, in harmony. In the modern age, they think that, well, people can live cooperatively and in harmony if everyone is made equal. But that is not possible, because some people are more intelligent than others. Some people are physically stronger than others. So you just come, it's not possible to make everyone equal. It sounds like a good idea, but it's actually foolish, because it has no application in real life. You just can't, by making a law, you can't make everyone equal. By making, in India they have reservations for the lower castes, with the idea of bringing them up. But it doesn't make people more, if people are stupid, by giving them a seat in a medical college, it doesn't make them automatically intelligent. You may say, well, we require so many doctors from the lower caste, but who wants to go and get operated by a doctor who's just there because he happens to be from a lower caste, who doesn't know what he's doing? It's a stupid idea. It's actually very bad for the future of the country. It's just for votes they're doing. Anyway, that's a socio-political aside. But the point is that Lord Krishna, he has given a system whereby society can be organized. Chaturvanyang maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. Lord Krishna states that the four varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they are Krishna's creation according to guna, quality, and karma, prescribed duties. So you may think, well, that's not good. Brahmanas are superior to Shudras. But if you don't have this system, there'll be some other system by which someone becomes more prominent than someone else. In the modern age, people are considered more prominent if they have money, more money. That's the measure. In Vedic society, it is measured by one's quality, one's character. Those who have, the Brahmanas are not rich, but they are on top of society because they have highest character. But in the modern age, you can have the worst character, but as if you have money, then you're considered top. And on how people are considered important is according to completely stupid criteria. Just like if someone is good, we're talking about sports. If someone is a good sports player, they become the idol of the populace. But that's stupid, because that doesn't help anyone. It's of no value to society. In India, cricket is very popular. In Japan, what's popular? I saw here there's a baseball. Yeah. So they both have the same idea. You throw a ball, you hit it with a piece of wood, and you run like anything. It's both the same idea. And then they try to get, before you come to the base or the wicket, they try to get the ball back. That's all. It's the same idea, right? More or less. So it's of no value to anyone, actually. It doesn't benefit society. Throwing a ball around and hitting it with a piece of wood doesn't benefit anyone. But that someone who's expert in this, they're considered very prestigious, highly respected. The heroes of modern India have been Sachin Tendulkar, and before him there was Gavaskar and Kapila Dev and all these. You see, I don't even know the rules of cricket, but I know the names, because if you live in India, you can't avoid it. And then you have the other more fools than the all the tea, the cinema stars, and you know your Bachchans and Sri Devis and all this. Yeah, it's laughable, but the people there are considered highly prestigious. But what is their character? What is their contribution? The cinema is dragging down the consciousness of people. Brahmana, one who's in knowledge of the truth, his contribution is to uplift the character of the people, but the modern heroes, so-called, they drag down the consciousness. So it's actually a much better system. Of course, the caste system broke down due to exploitive tendency, because Brahmanas were not really acting as Brahmanas. They were not uplifting the people, but just using their prestige to oppress others. There are so many factors. There are so many reasons why the caste system became corrupted. But the principle is very good. That anyway, according to our previous lives' activities, people are born with different grades, and some people are born in, there's going to be rich and poor. Some, even in communist society, there were some people living in communist Russia, some people were very wealthy, while the majority of people just had to struggle economically. So someone will always be richer than someone else. Someone will be more intelligent. Someone will have better character. So the Vedic system stratifies people that those who have best character, they are on top. Those who have least character, they are on the bottom of society. They are controlled. They require to be controlled. Otherwise, they'll make a big mess in society. And those who are uncontrollable, they're not even allowed in the city. That's the Mlecha, Yavana, Chandal. They're not even allowed. They don't come at all. They have their own society, the outside, and not given any chance to advance socially. Although, if they come to a higher standard, they can also be accepted. Chandalo pi dvija shreshta hari bhakti parayana. In Shastra it's stated that even if one is born in the... It's not just a matter of family, but if one is born in a chandal family, he is considered better than a brahmana if that chandala is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. If they actually come to the high standard, then they're better than someone who's only ritually a brahmana. Hari bhakti vihinascha. What is that? Hari bhakti vihinascha. I can't remember the last line. That means that if one is devoid of Hari Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, Brahmano Pi, even though one is born in a Brahmana family, Chandala Adhama, he's lower than a Chandala. That's the understanding. So we'll find in Bhagavad Gita so much discussion. What are the three modes of material nature? How a Brahmana should work, how a Kshatriya should work, how a Vaishya should work. All, in summary, the proper way to organize human society so that dharma can be properly executed. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Abandon all dharma and just surrender to me. We may wonder why he's speaking in the whole Bhagavad Gita about dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamiham. Lord Krishna says, I come to establish, to re-establish dharma, where dharma has become eclipsed, where adharma has become prominent. So then why at the end of Bhagavad Gita does he say to give up all other kinds of dharma? The point to be understood is that all dharmas accumulate in the actual dharma of the jiva, of the soul, which is to surrender to Krishna. So all these dharmas, they have no point unless we understand that it's all meant for serving Krishna. But on the other hand, Lord Krishna does spend the whole Bhagavad Gita speaking about it. Why does he bother? He could just say at the beginning, Sarvadhaman Parityaja, Arjuna wouldn't understand. So Lord Krishna explains what is the requirement of human society. Because Arjuna had to fight not for his own happiness, but to effect Lord Krishna's purpose in establishing society on the principle of dharma, by which people could, by following these principles, people can gradually become elevated and offer the results of their work to Krishna. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, well known, kamanyevadhikaraste mapaleshu kadachana. Everyone has a right to work. Everyone should work, but don't be attached to the fruit. That fruit should be offered to Krishna. Svakarmana tamabharcha siddhin vindati marnavaha. By, one can worship Lord Vishnu by doing his work. Everyone can achieve perfection by this means. That means that even if one is born in a Shudra family, or one has the qualities of a Shudra, he's not condemned, because if society is properly organized, then everyone, whatever their nature may be, by performing their work, that work will be offered in yajna, and therefore all their work becomes an offering to Vishnu, and everyone can achieve perfection by this means. And that's why Duryodhana had to be removed, because he was not a devotee of Krishna. He was against Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, even though in other ways he might have been a good administrator, but the whole society was being organized for his own self-aggrandizement. Whereas Yudhishthira Maharaj, as a great devotee of Krishna, under him the society could be organized on the principle of Hari Bhakti, devotion to Krishna. Therefore, it was required to fight so that Yudhishthira Maharaj could come to the throne, because Yudhishthira Maharaj, as a pure devotee, understood that all dharma culminates in sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja, doing everything for Krishna. So all these sub-dharmas, they are required in human society. We can't say that they're not important. Otherwise, why did Krishna speak so much about them? That is required in human society. It's a scientific division of human society. But it all becomes zero without surrendering to Krishna. And that is the problem with the caste system, that they forgot that it's all meant for Krishna. And instead they took it, I'm a Brahmin, I'm superior to you, without developing the proper qualities of a Brahmin. And they're just performing the ritual as an empty ritual. So it's a vast subject, how to organize society on spiritual principles. But Krishna wants us to know about this. Therefore he spoke about it in Bhagavad Gita. He wanted Arjuna to understand, because Arjuna as a Kshatriya is not just a fighter, but the Kshatriyas, they don't spend most of their time fighting, but they spend most of their time administrating human society. So they should know the principles on which that works. Otherwise it won't work. You can do something, but if you don't, You can have some kind of social system, but if you don't understand the principle, it won't work. It's like a doctor, you see, you can train someone as a doctor, but superficially, but if they don't understand the principle, then they won't, if they don't have a feeling for it, then it won't work. If they just do according to the book, it won't work. You have to understand the principle. So these instructions, we may think, well, you know, yajna, it doesn't matter today. It matters. Sankirtan yajna is required. Organization of society is required. The whole society is a terrible mess. We're talking about the tension in Tokyo. Why should people live in such tension? Why should people live in polluted, crowded, impersonal cities? This is not very good. This is not nice. Why? We say it's an artificial way of life. It's everything. It's not just artificial in as much as, you know, there's no fresh food, no fresh air, no fresh water. But it's artificial because there's no spiritual basis. The purpose of life, to satisfy Vishnu, no one has any idea. And the whole society is organized for sense enjoyment, which just brings more and more frustration. So Lord Krishna's instruction on dharma and yajna and the organization of human society are extremely relevant in the modern age. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to, along with chanting of Hare Krishna, he wanted his disciples, he had a very ambitious plan to reorganize society on Varnashram principles, on spiritual Varnashram principles. Now we should at least try to understand why Prabhupada said this and did this. Otherwise our movement just becomes a religious movement. We go along with modern society and we chant Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to give a dynamic spiritual alternative to the modern demoniac society. The modern society functions according to the outlook of the demoniac people, as described in chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I should think of myself as God, as the enjoyer. You're telling about these computer games in which they kill people and they fight. We're going past the cinema and there's a picture of the big gorilla eating the missile. So it's all make-believe, imagination. People like to imagine, I am God, by playing some computer game. I am in control. But it's all imagination. George Bush, very powerful. Just some play, like children playing. He's just a little toy. Krishna's power and George Bush's power. What is the difference? It's just, there's no comparison. We are playing. I am in charge. I am the boss. Very powerful. We don't realize. Balang balavatang chaham. Krishna is the strength of the strong. We're all playing God. Big God. Big little God, like George Bush, or little God, like you and me, in charge of a family, in charge of a company. Or we don't have a family, then we keep dogs. It's very popular in Japan. This dog, people like dogs. Why? Because the dog takes up the role of being the obedient servant. Therefore, people like to have dogs, because then one can take the position of being God to the dog. The dog likes you because you feed it. It depends on you, and you can feel. Yes, to this dog, I am just like God. This is foolishness. So Lord Krishna is describing these principles in this terrible situation before the fight. But nevertheless, Krishna is, even though there's very little time, Krishna is taking the time to describe how human society should be organized so Arjuna can understand that. What's he fighting for? He has to understand all these things, and we should try to understand also. Therefore, I spoke a little bit about it today. You may wonder, well, what's it got to do with me? But this is not simply some theory. It's not meant to be some theoretical discussion. But Srila Prabhupada gave us a program which he considered to be very practical, because the whole world's a complete mess. And it requires some guidance. And the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement are supposed to take the roles of genuine brahmanas and give. Brahmanas are not just meant for some airy-fairy, pie-in-the-sky kind of knowledge, but to give practical guidance from scripture how people can live in this world and at the same time become detached from it and prepare themselves to go to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Oh. Anything?
What did Srila Prabhupada gave us practically? We have to give the example for.
What did Srila Prabhupada give practically?
Yeah, practical.
Well, he gave many directions on how to set up farm communities. And he said that he wanted to teach how to live on the land in the lap of Krishna. But he passed away before doing so, and he said that 50% of my work isn't done. That's a lot, isn't it, when you consider how much he did. He gave the idea, live simply, produce your own food, chant Hare Krishna. Don't be attracted to this glittering society, glittering with cell phones and iPods and all kinds of modern gadgets, which don't satisfy the soul. That's the idea. Yeah, please.
Like in the ancient healing and Hindu dharma, Lord Supreme Lord Vishnu had 10 avatar, as he has said, and 9 avatar, and the 9th avatar was a Buddha, that you know. Now here in Japan or most of the East Asian countries, Buddhism is followed, where people offer even wine and...
Well, that's not really following, is it? It's a fast. If you say they're following Buddhism by offering wine and meat and...
So, as a Hindu person, sometimes I wonder whether ninth avatar of Vishnu, Buddha, he had such a different preaching from...
Yeah, Lord Buddha, that stated about Lord Buddha, he didn't tell to offer wine and all this. Lord Buddha is described, Nindasi yagya vidher ahaha shuti jatam, sadaya hridaya darshita pashughatam, kushava dhrita buddha sharira, jai jagadisha hare. In Dashavatar Stotram of Jayadeva Goswami, which comes at the beginning of Sri Gita Govinda, he states that Lord Buddha, he came to teach a very different kind of path, that he cheated atheistic people who are misusing the Vedas in the name of animals. In the name of the Vedas, they were conducting animal sacrifice. So, to cheat such people who were themselves cheating by misusing the Vedas, he decried the Vedic path. He said that, well, if the Vedas promote animal sacrifice, then we reject the Vedas. So that was required out of compassion for the animals. But that is not an eternal, that is not the highest truth, but that was just to prevent people from that animal killing. But anyway, in the name of Buddha, they're going on with animal killing. So they lost it. That's why I say it's not really Buddhism. No, at least it's not what Lord Buddha taught. Some Buddhists who are very serious, they don't eat meat, and they say it's wrong to do so, but they're rejected from the official Buddhism, which has become just the opposite of what the actual teachings of Lord Buddha are. Anything else?
So yeah. Again, I come to earlier what you were telling us about, Lord Krishna said to Arjuna, yada yada idharmasya.
Mm-hmm.
So if so much of materialistic problems are there in today's world, we wonder when the 10th avatar of Lord Vishnu.
So many problems in the modern world, we wonder when the 10th avatar of Vishnu will come. Well, you don't have to wonder because it's described in Shastra. No need to wonder. That avatar of Lord Kalki will come, that is required still very long time, more than 270,000 years. So you don't have to worry. But at the present time, the avatar of Lord Chaitanya is there, and he's taught us to chant Hare Krishna. So we can take advantage of that. What is it? Alright, so we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Well, I didn't do it for claps. You're supposed to speak in service to our acharyas. Thank you for the appreciation, but I'm a little afraid of claps, because if there are claps, then I may think then now I have to speak so people will clap. Then I won't speak what is. Then I'll become an entertainer. But our duty is not to entertain, but to try to speak as the acharyas have taught us to speak, for the dissemination of actual knowledge of Shastra for the benefit of those who are inclined to hear. For those who are not inclined to hear, they may want some entertainer, but then I didn't come to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet because